like to thank everybody for joining us today, and if you could stand where you are and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Glenn, if you could do a roll call for us.
Trustee Davis?
Here.
Trustee Doherty?
Here.
Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Here.
Trustee Haas is absent. Trustee Holness?
Here.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Labai?
Here.
Great, thank you. And do we have any public participation?
No, sir. No requests.
Great, thank you. Start with the consent agenda. Does anybody have any exceptions to the consent agenda?
Move motion to accept.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Consent agenda passes. Dr. Lovaso, over to you.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to everyone. Our first board meeting of 21, which we hope is much better than 20. We've been active, continuing our engaging our diversity and inclusion group, who's helping with the event we have coming up in February. So mark your calendars. We're going to coordinate with the board meeting. It's the rededication of the J. Griffin Green Building on campus. It's going to begin at 1:00, so you'll get some more information on that. As well as just had hosted a bunch of conversations with different groups on campus and just a whole lot of good initiatives that we're working on at the college. Did go to the Volusia County delegation meeting to present our legislative request just before break, and having those continuing conversations. We did host the State Board of Education on our campus at the Event Center. So we were on the Florida Channel, and it was great to be the host site. We had the Commissioner Corcoran here, the Chancellor, and was able to do a nice presentation regarding the college and some of our programs. And they are very pleased with, I think, everything we've done here at Daytona State College to provide opportunities for students in all of our modalities. Again, I just want to thank everyone for coming yesterday to that wonderful dedication for Husseini. I think it went well. It was nice to see people, and almost felt like we could have sat there and chatted for an hour before we got the program off, because I think some people haven't seen each other in about 10 months. So it was nice to see that it went well. Sometimes we give you a more deep presentation on this, but we periodically participate in the Community College Survey of Student Engagement, called CESE. There's a couple things that of note that I wanted to share with you. And CESE is a well-established tool that helps colleges on good educational practices, and it helps identify which areas they can improve their programs and services to students. The last one we did was in 2017, and one thing, when they gave us the results, that just jumped right out at me, which I think is a testament to the faculty, our staff, and the board, is that 93% of the students that responded to the question said that they would recommend Daytona State College to friends and family members. So I thought that was just a really good point there. Almost 87% also overall educational had a excellent or good educational experience. So just wanted to point that out. Also, what I've been trying to do toward the end of the semester, just because we are not seeing each other as often, and is to join. Sometimes I would walk around going to department meetings and whatnot, and it's hard to do that in this environment. So I did extend my availability, and several departments took me up on it. Some were in face-to-face, some were over Teams, where I just was able to join, so they could see me and talk to me and ask some questions. Just because it's a different time, and people, I think, we need to have that human touch at some point, and so that was it was nice to have that. The last thing I want to show is, we do a variety of things here at the college, and for everything we do is important to someone. And we have a music and drama students, and that's a difficult thing to try to pull off in a pandemic. They wanted to do it. We talked to them and negotiated and worked out safe places to do it. There was during the semester in the fall, if you walked outside my building, you could hear them singing. They were doing their class in the landing outside. So, where there's a will, there's a way. We wanted to, help provide that opportunity for them to do what they love to do. And one of the big things they do every December is a gift to the community that many of you may have come to here at the News Journal Center that we offer to the community. They still wanted to do it. Obviously, they had to do it differently. I thought they did a great job. I don't think we have senior staff's clip in this one here, but they even participated in it. With that, I want to show you 1 minute clip of what they were able to do. And this was posted on YouTube for the community to enjoy. That they were able to do that, and some of that was done in the building we share with UCF. There's an open atrium, so some of that singing and instrument playing was going on in there, so it was outdoors, but we kind of draped it in so it looked like it was inside. But anyhow, I wanted to share that with you, and with that, Mr. Chair, that concludes my report.
Great, thank you. Great creativity. I like the mask with the
I had to look at that twice. They actually have a hole in the mask and then something over the, I just was amazed.
Yeah. As you said, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
So. Great. Thanks for sharing that with us. We'll move on to facilities.
Good afternoon, everyone. All right, our first item that we have is the final completion and payment for the Farooq Husseini Hall, which you now are very well acquainted with. So this was for W&J Construction Corporation. It was the first time we worked with them as a general contractor, and they did a great job. So this is your final approval for their final payment, and it was within the budget that was set up by the board.
So
motion and a second.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. The next item we have is a parking lot improvement project. This is on the north side of campus, which is kind of near the soccer field on our Daytona campus. So we're going to be improving a couple parking areas over there that are in dire need. We had 8 contractors participate in the request to bid, so we're looking for approval for their contract along with some contingency for that project.
Motion to approve.
Motion and a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
All right, thank you. The last item is for new carpeting for the News Journal Center here.
I believe where we had the original carpet throughout this building. We had damage due to the hurricane. It was actually, I think, the first hurricane about 5 years ago that we had to redo the laminate up there near the entry. This is to recarpet all three floors, including this center, this room here, and new LED row lighting, which is almost non-existent at this point. So that's for this whole project. So I'm looking for approval for that one.
So moved.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Very good. That's my last item. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to say that the work on the News Journal Center in general, the painting and the tie-in with the new center, it looked really good. I know you've been involved in coordinating and appreciate all your efforts.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's going to look like a new building, and it's been needed for a long time. So
the whole area is just going to be phenomenal. With that, we will move on to finance.
Good afternoon and happy new year. Although it's a new year for most all of us, it's exactly the midpoint year for the college's fiscal year. With that, I'd like to get into my monthly financial report for the period ending December 31st, 2020. First, we have the operating revenue comparison of budget versus actual for the operating fund. And at the midway point, we've collected $20.4 million, or 76% of our student tuition and fees, $20.3 million, or 42% of our state revenues, $5.1 million, or 54% of our other revenues, and $2.9 million of our board approved transfers. That's 100% of the transfers. So as of December 31st, 2020, in total, we've collected $48.7 million of our operational budget of $87.2 million, and that represents 56% of the budget. Next is a similar comparison of our operating expenses. We got our budget versus actual. As you can see, $26.4 million of our personnel expenses have been spent to date. That's 41% of our budget. $13.5 million of current expenses and encumbrances, 65% of the budget. Of the $13.5, $8.9 million of actual expenses, with the remaining $4.6 million in encumbrances, which are tied to open purchase orders. Capital outlay, we have another $848,000 in obligations, 46% of the budget. Of that, actual expenses represent $639,000, with the remaining $209,000 of encumbrances. So to date, we got $40.7 million in total obligations realized of our total $87.2 operational budget. That represents 47% of the budget. And down there at the bottom shows, once you peel away the encumbrances and look at just actual expenditures, we have $35.9 million of the budget expended, 41%. Again, at the halfway point, 50% through the fiscal year, these are good indicators. Both the 47 and 41% show that we're really doing a nice job of controlling spending and below that 50% threshold. So we're at a pretty good point right now. Okay, next is an overview of our carry forward and fund balance for the operating fund. We ended the year last fiscal year with a fund balance of $15.2 million. Of that $15.2, $5.2 million is the 5% state required reserve, $2.4 million is the board designated reserve, unallocated reserves make up $7.3 million, and then we have $279,000 in year-end encumbrances. So as of the date of this report, December 31st, we have a projected fund balance of $17.7 million. Next, we have a graph that depicts the revenue received, budget to actual, year to year at the same point in time in December. As you can see, we've collected 56% of our budget in this fiscal year versus 58% of the budget last fiscal year. primary difference is the size of the budget, the $94 million last year, and we've got a smaller budget of $87 million this year. But as far as receipts, they're coming in at the same frequency, which is good. Next slide is our three-year analysis of student tuition and fees. You'll see the in-state tuition is probably the one that catches your eye the most. We have a decrease of approximately $1.5 million, you know, again, an extraordinary year. Not uncommon from what we're seeing with our sister colleges among the state. That represents about a 10% decrease in fee-paying revenue in that category. However, the other categories have helped make up some of the ground. You'll see out-of-state tuition is up some, full-cost tuition, and other fees, primarily being our distance learning fee. So in total, this year to last year, at the same point in time, we've collected $20.4 million versus $21.2 million. That's about an $875,000 difference in total, and that represents about 4%. So we budgeted, as you see at the bottom of that slide, tuition and fee revenue and fees were budgeted at minus 3%. So really, we're looking at about a 1% gap at this point in time when you look at the total tuition and fees together. So we feel pretty good if we can hold steady or land somewhere in this vicinity by June 30th, would be more or less a win for the year we're in. Next slide is a similar bar graph of expenditures year over year. You can see that in the current year, we've spent 41% in personnel compared to our budget, 65% in current expenses, and 46% in capital expenditures. Compared to last year, you can see each of those are down a few percentage points at least, which again is a good indication that we're again controlling our spending, doing a nice job in each of those areas, and helping keep this budget balanced throughout the year. So we're going to shift out off of the Fund 1 main operating account and into the Fund 7 Capital Projects Fund. That's our Fund 7. And this slide more or less shows your major funding sources in Fund 7 and the activity that's taken place throughout the year, both expenses and revenues. Going down the left-hand side there, our major sources are student capital improvement fees, board-designated reserves, the SunTrust loans that we've had for some time, capital outlay and debt service funds, PICO funds, and the capital improvement fees that have already been previously board approved and set aside for deferred maintenance. So those are the main buckets of funding within Fund 7. This kind of gives you an overview of that last slide. So we started the year with $41.1 million in Fund 7 reserves. We've collected another $3.3 million to date, and we've spent or obligated $13.1 million. Of that $13.1, $11.9 of it's expended, and another $1.1 is encumbered. So that leaves the fund balance projected per this report, again, as of 12/31, as $31.3 million fund balance. Of that total, $16.1 is committed to date, and another $15.2 million is uncommitted and available. This slide highlights our major capital projects that we have in progress at this time. The 10 major projects come with an estimated cost of $33.7 million. The first project is the Building 210 and 340 demo, and then the Deltona Master Plan. Both of those projects are essentially complete. We're just, you know, the reason they sometimes stay on the list a little longer is where we're closing out the final purchase orders, making final payments. So we expect that to happen this month, and we'll hopefully see them drop off the list next month. Third one down, we've alluded to the newly renovated Faruq Husseini Building 130 remodel. As you saw the other day, most of you were there, that it was, you know, not only complete, but it really, really came out beautifully, and it is a very nice building. Again, the reason we have a February completion date is we're trying to wrap up final payments closing out purchase orders, taking care of punch list items, and so forth. So hopefully by the end of February, this will become a completed project from both the construction side and the monetary side. Moving down, the one new project out of this board meeting was the Nora parking lot project. Those are lots A, B, and C. Chris alluded to it just previously on his presentation, as well as in November when he took it for board approval. The expected completion date on that project is May of 21. Moving down, the Flagler Palm Coast remodel has a completion date, June of 2021. High voltage upgrade project, September of 21. And we have our IT Cisco phone replacements for June of 2022. Security cameras and DVR replacements, June of 2025. Our Deltona classroom, still to be determined based on hopefully obtaining that last bit of funding from the state. And then our ERP project is ongoing and mainly consists of minimal consulting work at this point in time. And that concludes my financial presentation for the December 31st, 2020 period of time. If you have any questions, please feel free.
Tom, or how do you feel in the spring tuition? Is it, I think you're right. So far, it's great. You're a little behind on revenue collection, but you're even further behind on expense. So you're doing a great job of balancing it. How does the spring look?
So enrollment-wise, Ad Drop just ended. I think we'll be around 10 or 11% in enrollment down. And again, we budgeted 3, so you're looking at about 7. That's just on enrollment, but what we have to see that normally about every percent equals about $300,000. But what we have seen, and Marty showed on the slide, was we are getting some offset because of the increased distance learning fee. So what that net difference is, I don't know if we've looked at that quite yet for this semester, but it could be that 5 or 6%. For the spring, and I mentioned we're sidebarring the system. Had done some surveying, and it looks like a good number, the majority of the system is down about 14 to 15% in enrollment. So we're on the better side of being bad, but we. And I think part of it was some of our modality offerings. And we start a little bit later strategically to help us with picking up extra students after the break. Marty, if you have a different number or a handle on what's collected yet?
No, I think you hit it right on the head for the most part. We're still taking a look. Some of spring registration was included in that December figure that I showed you. So as spring winds down, the registration dropout process, we'll get a better handle. So we'll take a look at the upcoming board meetings and see if it kind of levels off and get a better picture of really where we stand.
Thanks.
Yes, on the finance topic, if I may, Chair, the new CARES Act is out and appears to be a little more flexible. So that also should help us in plugging some holes if we need to moving forward.
Just one question. I'm sorry, over here, Randy. You made mention, and I saw it on the screen, that the SunTrust loans for $2 million, or they're just slightly more than that. How old are they, and what's it for?
Yeah, those came about almost 15 years ago now when we constructed the Husseini building up front. And at the time, it wasn't only for that project, it was for any capital projects we felt we could use the money for. So we've spent down that. It was actually two loans, one for $10 million, one for $8 million. So together it was $18 million in funds. We're now down to the $2 million I think that you saw. Those actually expire, or we'll have them paid off, I believe, in 2026, Trustee Dye.
I think Trustee Dye is hit on one thing that I noticed too. We're living in a time of unprecedentedly low interest rates, and might it be a time to look at either additional debt at very favorable terms, or, you know, I don't know what the restrictions are for a state college, but.
Yeah, they passed the Daytona State College statute shortly after we did that to not let us be able to do that anymore. So I think that kind of summarizes it more.
Yeah,
because it was at the time a pretty good deal.
It was. Both loans, in fact, that period of time ago were both at 4% or lower. One was in the upper threes. So at the time, it was very good interest rate. These days, different story.
Am I correct? They passed a statute that now prohibits us from.
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
I believe ICE had told me before too. There's make whole language on those loans in terms of the interest rate.
Yes,
is that correct? So the problem is then you get prepayment penalties. Something like this.
Yes, correct. We did look into that. There would be a prepayment penalty if we tried to pay off the loan sooner. So we're just gonna ride it out until 2026 at this point.
Tom, what are you hearing in Tallahassee about what we can expect? Are they implying what I know the budget is going to be really squeezed because of the COVID-19, but are you getting any feedback of what may happen as far as the budgeting for DSC?
Yeah, so they had put out somewhat generically to prepare for perhaps a 10% reduction, but you know there is some conversation that it may not necessarily be across all sectors of education, so there could be a possibility that we don't, that the college system may not realize quite the 10%. We're hopeful that because we are also the college that's going to help system that's going to help rebound the economy with a lot of workforce stuff. So there seems to be some conversations that, about how they're going to deal with the budget deficit. As far as other, like we have the building money that's still out there for Deltona. Don't know, haven't heard a whole lot whether there's going to be interest in, giving colleges like us that have one final payment to get that building going, if that will happen this year. Whether they'll bond or not is still, I've not heard definitively one way or another, and I don't think we will hear until later on in the session.
Okay. I would just add, the 10% that Tom alluded to, that's not atypical. The state asked for all the colleges to plan and go through that exercise for a 10% reduction every year. The part that wasn't typical this year is that they asked us to plan, see what it looks like for an 8.5% decrease in the current fiscal year. So they've never really come to us in the current year and said, hey, we might need to address your current budget. So we're still, we're still in a holding pattern. Nothing's come down and advising us to do one thing or another, but the 10% has always been out there. So we'll see where it lands, but I just want to point that out. Okay, if no other questions, my next item is the ACH and wire transfers greater than 50,000. This meeting, we're bringing both November and December to you for information purposes only. And unless there's any questions on those, that concludes my report.
Any questions? Great, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'll move on to a topic I know everybody is very passionate about, the cost of textbooks.
Hello, I have an informational item, cost of textbooks for the spring 2021 semester. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. You've got the spreadsheet in your your packet.
Comparatively speaking, how is the trend? Is it still improving?
It is improving. There are more faculty experimenting with open resources, and I've noticed a couple of the higher cost courses, textbooks for courses. We've got some faculty venturing out into trying to put together their own materials, and so they're definitely focused on it, and I have seen a few improvements there.
Good. Any other questions? We appreciate all the work you guys do to try to keep this as low as possible. And
thank
you. It was interesting for me to see the number that said no textbook required. I think that's what you were just mm-hmm. alluding to, that you know, individuals finding a way to use their own materials.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting having a freshman in college. Mm-hmm. How she's had a few classes where the same thing, no textbook required type, and then getting materials other places. So.
Enrollment management.
Good afternoon. I present for your approval the 2021-22 academic calendar. Per State Board of Education rules, has to be approved by the Board of Trustees. We will begin our semester on August 23rd for the fall. We will have our spring semester, which will start January 18th, and the commencement ceremony will be Monday, May 16th, 2022. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. We are pretty much presenting the same calendar of semester A, full semester A term, B term for both fall and spring, and then the summer offerings as well.
Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Tom, over to you for the department.
Alrighty, we will start with the student government president who could not be here and submitted a report. That's Hilton Smith. Thought he was going to be here and then something happened and he had to cancel. So on behalf of Hilton Smith, he would like to thank everyone on the board on behalf of SGA and his fellow classmates for all of our hard work, your hard work. This semester, they have some great events planned and are excited about getting started. SGA will be meeting in the SGA conference room this semester in order to maintain social distancing. Their first meeting was January 19th, and they've already gotten started, and everyone came with great ideas and positive energy. Today, they are in their first Florida College System SGA retreat, which is why he was unable to attend. Their first event will be Valentine's Day, Letters for Veterans, and from our students, letters from our students. We will keep us informed with the progress, and again, he thanks us for all we do. And my next one is Dr. Alicia Ellert for the Administrative Council. And I'm getting a wave that she is not here. Or is it Carla doing it on behalf of Alicia?
Yes, sir.
There we go.
So the Admin Council held its first meeting of 2021 on January 7th. We share a copy of our revised scholarship agreement with the membership, and Susan Durgy volunteered to provide a regular report to the council about what has been awarded. Alicia Alexander, reporter on the process she's working on for establishing voluntary membership dues. We're currently hauling the council to determine their preferred method of payment for these dues. We also discussed some of the struggles we have been facing during the pandemic and the ways to support one another and our colleagues by showing compassion and practicing active learning skills. We are meeting again next month and we'll begin the nomination process for the next slate of officers at that time.
Thank you, Cora. And next, there's no report for the Career Employees Association and for Dr. Levantel for Faculty Senate. He has submitted a paragraph here for me to read. Faculty Senate had its informational meeting the Monday of Planning Week, and it will have its first official meeting for the year on February 2nd. They're putting together the elections for the fall to elect a new president and vice president. Faculty will receive ballots with nominations for their officers soon. And the final constituent head is Billy Joe Dunaway for professional counsel.
Thank you. Professional counsel met in December for a rousing game of trivia and to provide updates on our money saving tips from our meeting in November. This semester, we're addressing our constituent concerns by focusing on health, financial, physical, and personal wellness. Our next meeting is going to be January 29th at 10. We'll be discussing the fitness center, and we're going to take a virtual tour of the new Center for Women and Men. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. That concludes the constituent head.
Great, thank you. But just a few comments from my perspective. I want to start again thanking the president and his team and all the faculty and staff. I mean, you know, I think a year ago everybody thought maybe 4 or 5 months we'd be back to normal, and then it, you know, has continued to grow and grow. And I kind of equated to the analogy of a halftime at a football game. And you know, you did a lot of great things in the first half. You're feeling good that maybe you've figured out how to keep operating during the pandemic. And I'm happy to see that you and your team are keeping their head in the game and making sure we're thinking about the next semester and the next month and the next year. And, you know, for what's turning out to be kind of a long haul event. So thanks to the faculty, the staff, administration for everything you're doing to keep the institution moving forward. I think I want to thank my fellow board members for coming out to the dedication the other day, which was already mentioned. But, you know, if you think of the environment we were in with the pandemic and the number of people that showed up for that event in person, I think it's just a testament to what Faroo did for this college and this board. And I was glad that we had such great representation from us, from the community, and from the college. So, and it's a great building. Look forward to seeing all the good things it continues to do in honor of her. Tom, just realize, you know, as I know you do, this is going to be a tough legislative environment. We're here to help. So you're kind of moving the chess pieces, but make sure you call on us if you think there's something that we can do to tout the benefits of Daytona State College and all the good things it does for the community. And then the CARES Act, you mentioned that already. I do also think that, as you mentioned, they open that up a little bit, and I hope you start to look at how you also might be able to use that to spur enrollment for the spring, because there's a lot less restrictions on the financial aid piece also, so that might help. And then finally, the topic on accreditation, which we've already talked a lot about in the workshop, but you know, one thing I would ask the board to do when it's time to fill out that form or beforehand, we get great presentations, great material. I think everything we see helps us fulfill our responsibilities and our expectations, but no board is perfect, and so I'd encourage you to think of what could we do better. You heard Amy mention that. They want to see, you know, what we want to do better and how we talk about it and how we maybe changed something we look at. So I encourage you to think of things you'd like to learn more about and the things you think we could do a better job of. And you know, feel free to bring it to my attention before we do the survey or whenever we do the survey. So thanks for all you do, and with that, we'll run around the room, and why don't we start on this side with Gary.
Okay. Thank you. As you said, Randy, the accreditation process, really kudos to Amy and Carla and the team for the way they're laying the foundation already. You know, for us, and the briefing that we got was excellent. The News Journal Center, the improvements, I have to say that Tom and I were talking about this the other day with everything that's going on up and down this corridor, the street even itself, and the new development, and Bob, your new office, and you know, things like that. You start to take a look at the potential of this center as an arts district and the focal point that we can be here, combined with our music school. I just think it's a great opportunity for us, and I'm glad to see we're investing in this area, you know, as well. And then finally, my favorite topic always is textbooks. And I will have to say again to Amy and the team, everybody, we innovation is really what is needed here, and we're demonstrating that innovation. And it's a nice way of sending it back to the publishing companies like McGraw-Hill and these others that, in my estimation, continue to allow us to be taken advantage of in the colleges and in the universities at times. And while they provide a very valuable service in publishing these books, I think sometimes they cause additional expenses that shouldn't be passed along to our students. And when I look at what I paid for, you know, my books 40 years ago in college versus today, it's incredibly, it's far, far outpaced inflation. So great job by our staff and our team here, led by Amy on this topic as well. So thank you.
Tom, I'm always amazed every time I come to these meetings or we interact of the great work that you and your staff do for this college. And you walk around like yesterday, you never realize that we have a pandemic and people kept their distances, they wore their masks, and it was a wonderful celebration. So, you know, I can't explain how much you guys have done for this community and for this college. And kudos to your staff. And it comes from the leadership that you put out there. So, again, thank you so much for what you and your staff do for the college and for the students. And I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
There we go. Thanks for the remarks about the downtown, because it's exciting. I got to walk across the street for this meeting, which was kind of nice. So ease of transportation, but the excitement to be able to look out and see what this building represents for Daytona State College is pretty significant. And so it's a great things ahead. This is a great foothold in what will be a very vibrant downtown, and it's a great source of optimism for our community. The other thing, again, we've touched on Farooq Hosseini and the dedication. I think for all of us, it was a great relief to be able to greet and see each other and talk. That's the first time in 10 months, as far as I can remember, to have a gathering like that. So I think that's important. But the other thing that I thought was important was the message that she sent about taking care of our students and our veterans. Tom, you and I talked about it. I think that's something that we need to keep focused on, that it's not her mission is not done. She handed it off, she passed the torch, and we need to focus on those things that she accomplished and passed on to us. The last thing I want to mention is a person named Charlie Havlat. You may not know who that is, but Charlie Havlat was the last combat death in the European theater in World War II. And he died 6 hours before the Germans gave their unconditional surrender. So why do I bring that up? We're sort of in this weird stage with the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of folks think it's over. We've got the vaccine, the vaccine's being rolled out, and there's this sense of complacency that seems to set in. And I think about Charlie Havlat, and I think about his family, that they're at the end of the war, having survived the beaches of Normandy, the Battle of the Bulge, and then to die in Germany 6 hours before the German surrender. We don't want anyone in Daytona Beach, in our community, any students, faculty, to be that final casualty in this terrible pandemic. And so, you know, I think I would give a message that we need to stay frosty. We need to stay vigilant. We need to stay disciplined. And we need to see this thing through to the end so that we're safe and that we can be proud of what we've done for Daytona State College and all its constituents. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Bob. And Sarah, you're next in the order here, if you'd like to say something.
She had to leave the call.
Okay, great. Thanks, Betty.
Okay. Happy New Year, everyone. 2020 was such a challenging year for all of us. And as has been said, we greatly appreciate the work of the staff and Tom, your leadership. No matter what we threw at you, you figured out a way of how to getting it done. And as I said, it was just wonderful with the dedication of the building. I was just telling Randy, that was the old cafeteria, and I couldn't believe when I walked in there, the transformation of that building. They did such a beautiful job. And the Center for Men and Women now have a wonderful place to have their activities. Just wanted to ask you, Randy, we talked about our retreat in April. Do you want this returned by our February meeting so you'd have time to get it together?
April?
The April meeting.
By the April meeting? Yep. Is that on our retreat? So we have time to get it all done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just trying to push it. So we'll have it into you before our April meeting. Thank you.
Well, it's been an interesting year. I also think that the Faroo dedication was remarkable for a number of reasons. But for me, it was kind of like it's kicked off 2021 with the right theme. Mm-hmm. You know, it's provided momentum. It's completion, I suppose, of a building and of getting it done and now allowing it to really do its work, right? And so I think it's the timing ends up being remarkable, something we can use to accelerate the mission. I also wouldn't echo the sentiments of everybody else, but I would be remiss. You know, our business has been open, blessed to be open the whole time, at the same time challenged in that being open. And having that being the case, not so much about us, but we've done business with a lot of different people, some who have responded with creativity, with ingenuity, the use of technology, and so they've not only survived, but I would even say potentially thrived. And that's really, and others have failed miserably and have given up, lost their initiative, lost their motivation, and ultimately lost their way. And the challenge would have been that times multiple numbers for you and the organization, and the response is remarkable. It's nothing short of remarkable. Encouraging, just exciting to witness, and the professionalism of the presentations and how seriously everybody takes their role. It's exciting to be a part of this. It's always good to be a part of a winning team. And you guys are obviously doing a great job of winning. So thank you.
Well, everybody talked about the Men's and Women's Center and how great it was. I was just struck. I couldn't believe it, remembering what it looked like, the ingenuity of Tom Labasso, the colors, the windows. It was just amazing, and we spoke about that. But what struck me most was when Iselina gave the speech about the staff at the Men's and Women's Center, the percentages, what was going on, how they accomplished it. It wasn't bricks and mortar. It wasn't the old building. Certainly not the new building yet. But this dedication of the staff at the Women's and Men's Center and the clothing and the food and the care that they give. I would like to recommend, Mr. Chairman and Mr. President, that we send a letter of thank you from this board to the entire staff at the Women's and Men's Center and telling them, we thank you for a great job. Now we need more.
Great. Thank you. think it's a great idea, Bob. With that, we will officially adjourn the meeting then and look forward to the next one. Thank you for calling.